can't believe it. He's calling me again. Hello?
Hi, Dean. It's Arnold.
Hello, Arnold.
Listen, mate. Work has dried up a bit. Are you still interested in me doing a few voiceovers for Retro Asylum? You know I'm a big fan of the show. Plus, think of all of the games that I've been in over the years. I think that I would be a big draw for the podcast, you know. And maybe if it is okay for you, I could stand in for Matt. I mean, he is hardly ever on anyway.
Hang on, mate, hang on. I'm not too sure. You know, it wouldn't be right. It's Matt.
Okay, come on. Yes, but...
But we're not replacing Matt.
Oh, come on, Dean. Me and you, we go way back, man. I'll even sing for you on the show.
All right, you can come on, but you're not replacing Matt. Tell me about this singing.
Yes, I could do a little beatbox or something, you know? I could use my aggressive voice, which has been very effective in commercials over here. Come on, Dean. You know it makes sense, Dean. Come on, we make a winning team, me and you. We always have.
All right, I've already said you can come on.
You won't regret it. I cannot wait to tell Sly that I'm going to be on Retro Asylum. That sucker is going to be so jealous.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Did I tell you I'm auditioning for Emmerdale? When did they drop the farm bit from the title? That was my favorite soap when I lived down Romford Road in the old days.
Nobody interrupts me, of course. Welcome along to the Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. I'm Mess, and I'm here with Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
And very special guest, Martin, or Deadlock. Say hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Fine, thanks. We're so glad to finally have you on. You've been avoiding us for some time now, but...
yeah, I couldn't get out of it. It's the third time, I think.
No. That would have been embarrassing for us, I think.
Although someone did try and schedule a change, Martin, but we said no. Can't do that. Yeah. Martin's joining us.
True. And actually, this morning when I messaged you and you took like 4 or 5 hours before you replied, I was sure you were going to stand us up again.
No, I didn't see it till later, which is weird because I turned it on earlier. I don't know.
But you're not looking at your phone 24 hours a day. What's going on?
That's weird. Weird behavior.
Yeah.
No, but today, of course, we'll be looking at the fourth Evercade cartridge. So you've actually stood us up 3 times, I think, Martin. The fourth Evercade cartridge is the Interplay Collection 1, and it has 6 classic, wonderful Interplay games.
That we're going to play and
show you. And, you can probably hear on the way that we say this already that this isn't our favorite cartridge, but I've actually grown to like the 3 games that I finished on this one, and I actually... actively hated them when I started, so more on that when we get to the games. So really looking forward to doing this, but before we go into the episode proper and look at all the games, let's just introduce Martin. Of course, you've been on before, haven't you, mate?
Yes, I have been on before. I was on an Evercade episode before. Don't know what's there's something else.
But it's been so long, so could you please tell our listeners, why do we include you on an Evercade episode?
I don't know.
That's a good question, isn't it?
That's a good question.
That's a loaded question.
Because they feel guilty and they treat me badly most of the time.
Yep.
I run a fan site called Evercade Info, and I've also been involved with the Evercade guys and some of the testing and things like that. I'm working on some of their back-end systems and things like that as well. So that's it. I've been kind of involved with Evercade since, not quite since the start, but from the original Evercade OG handheld console.
Yeah, and if you're looking at your screen right now, you can see your webpage here.
Yeah, I need to update it. But I did update the games. That's good.
Yeah, I was just going to show our viewers and tell our listeners here there is, of course, Evercade Info. We often talk about this webpage when we are doing these episodes, but this is where we get all of our list of the games. For example, here you can see all of the cartridges that are released. Lots and lots of the cartridges these days. I seem to recall that there's 15 new cartridges coming this year, for example.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really active these days.
Yeah.
And of course, we are playing the Interplay Collection 1, so I'm going to click that here and show you that Martin has done all of the hard work here collecting the original manuals, and even here's a walkthrough for Titan, for example.
I put in something like a walkthrough if I can't find the original manual. Sometimes I just can't find it. So if anybody finds ones that are missing, send them to me and I'll put them up.
You also write which, these games are from different consoles, of course. So here we have two NES games, two Super Nintendo games, and a Mega Drive game. And you also write so you know which platforms it is. I find sometimes this info is hard to find on the cartridges themselves. Yeah. So it's so nice
to have. It's not really on the cartridges because they can't say, you know what I mean? That's why they have to say 8 or 16 bit because they're not affiliated with the original console.
Okay.
What is that? So is that a thing? Is it they can't actually say this was Mega Drive game?
As far as I know, it is. Yeah. So that's why it's 8-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit.
Right.
They don't say.
Okay.
You know. Okay. Never knew.
Interesting.
But it's so nice that you have the info here, so you know when you. I mean, often of course we can see it, we can feel it, we can definitely hear it, whether it's a SNES or Mega Drive game, because there's such a big difference in the.
Sometimes they're very similar though. Like most of the time you're right, yeah. But sometimes I think it's mostly between Mega Drive and SNES, sometimes they can be hard to tell.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, no, I like the manuals. I mean, obviously you can get the manuals on the web, but the fact that they're all here, you link to them, you've got all the games listed. I started on I was actually playing some of the Atari, the next cartridge that we're covering is the Atari Collection 2.
Yeah,
and there's some old classics on that. I was playing Air Sea Battle last night, which is a 1977 game. You've got a lovely link to a high res scan of that manual, mate, and it's really useful.
So I'm just going to check it out here, of course. But is that all 2600 games again?
No.
Nope.
Oh, you'll see there, So there's five. So they're like HD remakes of things, largely things that were on the first collection. So, for instance, Asteroid Centipede and Desert Falcon, those three are 7800 games on this one. They were the 2600 versions of those games were on the first one.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. I was pleasantly surprised when we went through the first Atari collection. So
this has got some good ones on for us, mate. Yeah. The likes of Haunted House and Wizard, Demons to Diamonds, I think you'll like.
Yeah.
And as well as some old, some arcade classics as well, Millipede and Yar's Revenge and that kind of thing. So there's, some good ones there, I think.
Yeah, nice. So one thing I just want to ask Martin about before we get into the episode proper is, what's this about the hidden games? I don't think I've seen any hidden games. I know it's there in the menu of the...
go in, it's different. Like, you can put in codes.
Yeah.
You can put in, sometimes with double cartridges, so basically in the VS or the Alpha, if you put in two cartridges together, you'll get an extra game. So as in two cartridges from the same collection. So there's quite a few different ways of getting them. Some are codes you put in the menu screen. So there's quite a few different combinations and things you can put in. And then there was some kind of fun little Easter eggs as well and things.
Okay.
So if you want to see, it's a spoiler alert, but if you go in there, then I think I have most of them in there and people send them in when they find them because I don't want to put them up unless people find them, you know what I mean?
No, of course. I'll have a look at that. I think you have your own secret in there, don't you?
I had, but it's not there now. The last time I tried it, it didn't work. There was one in there, so they might have thought it wasn't politically correct.
It's a bit of a
taking the piss out of me as an Irishman, so
Okay. Well, we won't go into further depth here, then further details. Chris, will you take over as the host and lead us through all the six games on this Interplay collection?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be your game player then.
Yeah, so yeah, as we've said, this is the Interplay Collection 1. This was cartridge number 4 in their numbered series. 6 games published by Interplay, some also developed by Interplay, but mainly these are games that were published by Interplay. Like any other card from a single publisher, I'm sure there are people saying, where's this game and where's that game? The reality is we've got these games and we have suffered/played through all of them. Not to the end. Some of us have played some of them to the end. Matt?
Oh, yes. I just went on holiday and I was supposed to bring my Steam Deck and the Evercade. And I forgot the Steam Deck, so I only had the Evercade and these 6 games. So I finished Boogerman, Earthworm Jim, and Incantation.
Yeah.
Played them all the way through.
Wow. Okay.
So let's just take them in order, mate. Alphabetical order as they appear there on the cart. Let's have a look at Battle Chess first.
Let's do. And as we usually do on these shows, we will read out these little blurbs. I'm going to start here. Battle Chess, welcome to our kingdom, traveler. For thousands of years, our two armies have waged war for control of the board. We now ask your help. Your military strategies are legendary and your bravery unequaled. Wow, that sounds good. And you'll need them both to vanquish your foe. Patience and planning are the keys to victory. I place my entire army at your disposal and our fate in your hands. Battle Chess is a familiar game with a cinematic twist. The rules are the same as the classic game, but when one piece captures another, you'll see a dramatic battle take place. Beyond the visual flourish, Battle Chess offers a robust game of chess, whether you're facing the computer or another player. Well, that depends on the other player, doesn't it? Plan your moves carefully, as even a single mistake could prove disastrous.
So, visual flourish, eh?
For those of us, let's just say that before we dive in. For those of us who grew up playing Battle Chess on the Amiga, be ready to be seriously disappointed, because this is the NES trying to do that, and it really isn't doing that very well. But let's go.
I would have played it on DOS, I think, originally.
Yeah, so that also looked quite nice. So, Martin,
I've never tried the DOS version actually.
It was a port of the Amiga version, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. The Amiga version is definitely really beautiful. Both the animations, just when the pieces were moving, like the towers transforming into these hulking beasts and so on. Let's just see. I'm just going to move some stuff here.
Yeah, it might take a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Martin, what did you think of this?
I thought it was a chess game, because sometimes I switched to 2D and it wasn't too bad, but it just was. It's slow. Some of the moves, even I was playing on the EXP, the screen would go black because it thought I wasn't doing anything while it was waiting for a piece.
I had that as well.
To get to a certain place on the screen, it thought you had gone to sleep or something, you know. So.
Yeah, I thought it had crashed at one point. But it was just against that was a bad move there, Mads. You've just set yourself right up there.
Yeah, I just want to make some fights, mate, so you can see the wonderful animations.
I don't see why it had to be so slow. They could have done it better, I think. You know, the NES would have been capable. It's just
the animations could be better as well. I mean, look at the use of color here. There's almost nothing going on.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say to its credit is that it does retain some of the humour.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks terrible, doesn't it? And I agree that the NES could have done so much better than this.
Yeah.
It's too slow. And there's just, look at it. It's so bland looking. Even though the animations are, you know, they do retain some of the humour.
I suppose back in the day,
themselves. That's a bit of a shame, I think.
So bad back in the day, you know what I mean? Because I remember even like Battle Chess generally, I remember on DOS, it wasn't super fast or anything, but at the time you thought it was so cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe it, you know, we have.
Well, I fired up the Amiga version on the Mister just to compare and just to remind myself, because I loved the Amiga version back in the day, and it does play so much more fluidly and smoother than this. The other thing I would say in its credit is that, you know, fundamentally, it's a chess game, and it's playable, therefore, because if you like chess and you've got some patience, there is fun to be had. Although it's such a bare bones package, you may have saw the intro screen there. I mean, there's barely anything to it. There's no difficulty levels that I could see. There's nothing other than you press go and you're into a one player versus the console match.
When you think about it, if it didn't have this animation to make it look like a game, I mean, you probably would never have got chess on the NES.
No, but I mean, it could have just been a 2D chess game, right? And it would have been probably just as fun. As okay as these animations are, once you've seen them all once, you don't really... And they're unskippable, I think.
Yeah, let me try it, the next one. See if I can skip it.
I don't even...
You can hit settings in the middle of the game and just turn it into a 2D game.
Okay. Can you?
Yeah. I'll try that.
Okay. I'm actually looking. I haven't noticed that. So there are levels, Chris. There's novice and levels 1 to 5.
All right. Well, I take that back then. I missed that. I couldn't. Into the settings, do you?
Yeah. So if you hit start in the middle of the game there. So if you try that after this animation, Mads.
Yeah. Have a look. Let's see if I can skip an animation. I can't, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, this came out for the NES in 1990, so a reasonably late.
Yes.
A reasonably late NES game, and it could have done. It could have been a lot better than this, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Chris O'Regan is also saying in the chat as well that you could play it without the animated pieces, which, to be honest, is to my mind is the way to do this.
Yeah. It would have been better if the two knights there had if they had done the battle there like Monty Python, where he cuts his legs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So this plays much better, yeah.
All right, well, to my mind, this is the way to play this version of the game because it'd be so much more playable at this speed.
You can watch the animations once and then play this for a good game of chess instead.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you really want to play battle chess, I think the way to do it is to fire up the... probably fire up the DOS version if that's what you've... if you've got a Mr. Get the Amiga or the Atari ST versions, which I still think are the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Chris O'Regan makes the point as well about the fact it's odd that it was even ported to the NES. I'd agree with that. It seems a strange decision. I mean, I'm not sure there would have been a huge market on the NES.
It was quite popular at the time. People thought it was quite cool because of what it did. So maybe they just jumped on the bandwagon at the time. And said, okay, we get this out.
You know? Yeah, I mean, the game won all kinds of awards back in the day for its graphics mainly. And the humour as well. It was really well reviewed for the 16-bit computers. So I think you're right, mate. I think it was definitely a popular game at the back end of the 80s, so maybe not surprising that it got ported far and wide to the consoles.
Hmm. So I was just trying there to see if I could commit suicide, but you're not allowed to do that, actually.
You can't move into check. So.
No, you can't move into check. No.
I was just trying to see if I can get the end game animation here. But as a chess
simulator, it's all there, though. You can even do funny move, you know, where you move the king and you can swap places with the castle.
The castling, yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, it is a, you know, it's all there as a game of chess. And if you like chess, then it's fine. I mean, I had a good few sessions on this and managed to beat the computer and...
And also, I can't help but think whether we are just more down on this than because we actually have the memories of playing it on the Amiga or the DOS version that looks so much better, and where the battles actually take place, as I recall, on the actual board. It's just such a visually better package there. Mm. But if you'd never played that, maybe this would be kind of cool, and still, if you wanted to play a game of chess even on the Amiga, you wouldn't be playing with the animations, would you? I mean, you'd switch that off as well. You'd do that a couple of times to see the cool animations, and then you'll actually be playing chess instead. And that's no different than this one, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not alone, is it? You know, this is a complete digression, but I was playing Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker today, and there's an animation where he opens the chest, you know, when he discovers, like in Zelda, you discover like a key item.
Hmm.
He does that chest opening animation where he peers in. Like, I reckon I've probably seen that animation getting on for 150 times in that game now. I really wish I could skip it. You know, even the nicest animations, if you see them too much, they get too much.
Let's move on from Battle Chess then.
Yes.
Probably, if you like chess, as Chris said, a serviceable chess game, but don't pick it for the animations and sound design and stuff like that, because then you'd be better off looking at the Amiga version.
No pun intended there, Mads, for Boomerman. Don't pick it.
Because Boomerman, this is a game you may pick for the animation and the visuals, because it certainly has some kind of charm.
Yeah, it's a very specific style, It looks like those 80s cartoons that you'd see. But this is the most childish game I've ever played, I think. I mean, everything is about boogers or burping or farting or, it's called Boogerman, a pick and flick adventure. And Chris, I'm sure you'll love reading this for us. It's very short, this little blurb.
Eccentric millionaire Snotty Ragsdale has a secret identity. He is none other than Boogerman, the fierce, ferocious and flatulent defender of justice. While investigating a suspicious experiment at the laboratory of Professor Stinkbaum, our hero finds himself on an epic adventure in Dimension Excrement. See what they did? With a hearty yell of his battle cry, Boogerman picks and flicks his way into action. Booger.
There's even the button for just, you can press in the game just to say booger, if I recall correctly.
I wonder how many games they sold just by a kid wanting to say they had bought Boogerman the game.
Yes. I believe you may be right there.
So this one was actually developed in-house by Interplay. It was released on the Genesis. This is the Genesis/Mega Drive version. It did get a European release, so it did have a Mega Drive release November to December 94. It later got a SNES port in Europe in 1996. So another late generation game, this. There's a couple of those on this cart. It's a dark and stormy night. This is the in-game description of the story. Professor Stinkbaum's lab, where a machine has been built to save the world from pollution by trans-existing it to Dimension Excrement. Eccentric millionaire Snotty Ragsdale has taken a job at the lab to investigate its safety and find out exactly where the pollution is going. He has a bad feeling about this latest contraption. And to cut a long story short, he basically gets transformed. He becomes Boogerman, doesn't he, as part of this failed experiment thing here.
No, I think he is Boogerman already, and then he jumps into the other... here he is just cleaning.
Oh, is he posing as a cleaner there?
Yes. Then he sees that there's something wrong, so he goes, changes, and he comes back.
Oh, like Superman, of course he does.
Boogerman, and... jumps into the other dimension to see what's going on.
So what is the game, Matt? It's a we're going to see some gameplay here on the video.
It's an exceedingly mediocre and very boring platformer.
It's a platformer. It's a platformer.
You can jump, you can throw boogers, and you can burp. And if you hold down the button, you can make this huge burp that kills multiple enemies at once. And if I recall correctly, you can press a button to say booger.
Yeah, what does that do other than make him say booger?
Nothing.
But you can do that. What else does it need to do?
So you can, in the game, each level has, each kind of world has three or four levels, and each level has a number of plungers that you can find. And finding all of the plungers or enough of the plungers means that you will get an extra life at the end of the level.
Yeah.
And that's all. You need to pick up those plungers. You need to jump on these, whatever they are.
Yeah, what are they?
You need to jump on those to get extra points, and then if you get enough, you'll get a little bonus. This game, the animation is actually kind of cute, isn't it?
Well, look at his face as you jump. I mean, it's got some really nice touches. Like, he's got that like goofy smile when you jump.
That animation
of going down the toilet there.
Yeah. It's actually quite nice, and there are many nice details. The problem is the level design never gets away from this exceedingly mediocre state that you see right now. It's never hard. It's a breeze to get through this game.
Yeah.
The only thing that's actually hard is the boss fights, because every time you're hard. I say hard, but they're not interesting. But they can be tricky.
As you progress through the game, because you finished this, as you progress through the game, do you get much varied like levels? I mean, do you go into different, or yeah, are they all these kind of like sewer looking levels?
It's pretty much the same enemies. There are some new enemies introduced, but they don't do anything different. There are some big hulking enemies as well. But there are two of them, I think, and they just walk slowly towards you and try to kill you. You can just throw two or three boogers at them and they'll be gone. So yeah, there's nothing really interesting going on in any of the levels. So as I said, the only thing that's a bit fun is that there is a boss fight, and these boss are very mature as well, as you can imagine. I'm just going to load, because this is the wonderful thing about the Evercade that I discovered recently. Your save states are actually saved on the cartridge.
Yeah.
So I've been playing this on my EXPR while I was on holiday, and now I can load my save states here. So I saved, because I thought I wanted to show you some of these. I saved, this is the end of game boss, and this is, I think, the first, second, third, and fourth bosses.
So it's not a massively long game, is it? I don't think. What is it, about five different worlds? And
yeah, about 2 hours.
20 levels. Six, yeah. So
225.
Yeah, 2.5 hours it took me with using copious amounts of save states, because that's how I like to go through games that I'm not enjoying that much. But it was still good fun. So look at these boss fights. If you can just see the little windows or the little icons here. There's a common theme. So look at this one. There's two platforms, one on either side.
Yeah.
There again, two platforms, one on either side.
Yeah.
Two platforms, one on either side. All of those three bosses can actually be killed in the exact same way. So jump up onto a platform, throw a booger at them, wait for their one or two different attacks that you'll learn how to dodge, jump to the other side, rinse and repeat for a long time. That's how you kill these guys, no matter which one you're fighting.
And there's no power-ups or anything, really, is there?
It's only there that chili pepper that you've just seen Mads collect there, isn't it?
But that was level one. There's nothing further on that gives you anything.
No, the chili pepper is gives you like fire breathing, right?
Yeah, only until you get hit, though, isn't it? So once you take a hit, it goes, I think. There's no different mechanics, Mads, or anything like that. Nothing that changes up the gameplay at all as you get through the game?
Nope, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
What did you make of this one, Martin?
Yeah, exactly that. I found it very just mediocre. It's not something that grabbed me. You're playing it and, you know, hoping it gets better, and it doesn't really.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not a bad game.
It's not terrible, but it's not great. It's you know.
No, I mean it's average. There's another game that we're going to be talking about in a bit, which I think we're going to be saying something largely similar. Like, it's not a bad game at all, but it's just, very mundane. Chris O'Regan has said in chat, actually, I think he's absolutely spot on. It's almost as if the developers were so pleased with themselves on some of the animation and the way they made the characters look that they kind of just forgot about the level design, didn't they?
Exactly. Because it does look really nice. I mean, there's definitely something good going on with the animations here.
What's going on with that enemy's pants, though? What's he doing?
It doesn't look too good, does it?
Yeah, but I mean, even the collectibles for the bonuses, I mean, the plungers, don't really, like, you don't get a huge amount from them, do you, at the end of the levels? So
no,
there's even the motivation of scouring the levels is not really there.
No, unless you're really, I mean, if you want to finish this the right way without save states and so on, you'll need your extra lives for the boss fights. Because as you can see, I just died a couple of times here. They aren't trivial. You need to learn the patterns and get through them. And when you get the patterns down, they're not hard at all, but you still need to do the same things really many times, because these guys take a lot of boogers before they die. So if you want to be able to finish it the right way, you need to pick up all of those plungers, because those are your extra lives. There are extra lives to be found in the levels as well, but you need to find those plungers. And every level I think have like one toilet you can flush yourself down, and that leads to a sub level where you can find extra mini plungers. They need to be on the lookout for those as well. And the levels have lots and lots of secret areas you need to find your way into to get extra plungers.
Down so the often, toilets.
Yeah, so often, yeah, and also stuff that's not just through the toilet. Sometimes you jump up a nose, you're sniffed into a nose.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
You end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
But often, you really need to find all those secrets to get enough plungers, I find. So I only got an extra life like a couple of times.
Did you use the farts and the burp mechanic much to kill the enemies, or did you just flick stuff at them?
I only used burping when I ran out of boogers, because you can run out of them. That's a pickup as well. You pick up those green stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that in the top left for people watching the video. There is a meter there, essentially, which expires.
Yeah.
But you can power it up. Interestingly, there was a sequel kickstarted, or there was an attempted Kickstarter from the original creators of Boogerman in 2013. Really? They were going to make a sequel. They were looking for $375,000, and they managed to raise $40,000.
Okay,
so it didn't happen. 375. They were looking for to finish a game they'd already started, apparently, and they didn't get it, and it's never seen the light of day. So this is the first of the last we saw of Boogerman.
Yeah. And initially, I really didn't like this because I have very low patience with the mediocre platformers. Jim should be playing this instead of me. But, in the end, I actually enjoyed my time with Boogerman. It was a fun couple of hours trying to figure out how to get all the way through it. You need to be patient because there are some levels that, they're just so nondescript, it gets boring.
Yeah.
But it's fun when you get to the boss fights, and just save state as soon as you get into a boss fight and enjoy trying to figure out what's this guy's, what do you need to do to beat this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad game. I didn't find it a bad game. It's just not a good game either.
Yeah.
It's very mediocre.
It's a 6 out of 10 or something like that, isn't it?
6 out of 10, yeah.
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah, it did well back in the day. I mean, the reviews, 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 87 really? Out of 100. Yeah. So, the reviews at the time were good, but it was a late generation game. I often think that reviews are maybe sometimes a bit too generous for games that are released later in a console's life.
Yeah, for sure.
And it does look nice. Undoubtedly, the character animation and the art does look nice.
Only thing about the art is that it's a bit of a shame that there are so few enemies. You meet the same enemies that you meet in the first level, you meet in the very last level all the time. Yeah. So, it would have been nice with just a palette swap or something, because it's a variety. There are a few, as I said, huge hulking beasts, but again, those are not even a problem to dispatch of. So why even?
Funny, when I played it, I thought it was a little bit slower, but I think after watching Battle Chest for 10 minutes, it's quicker.
It all moves okay, doesn't it? I mean, it's scrolling is smooth.
Really well. I like the jump, which is an important part of a platformer, of course. I like the jump. I like the controls, and you can easily shoot and hit stuff. Sometimes you have this, you pick up, I don't know what it is, but that jar that says M, then you have a lot of mucus that you can just do a straight line. And sometimes your boogers, instead, you flick them and they fall down at a curve. So you need to figure out how to hit stuff with that. And that works really well as well. So, yeah, lots of good things about this.
Does the flashing of his cape signify anything?
Yes, that's because I picked up an extra cape. That's right now. I think I can take 3 hits before.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Reese King Kong Groover in chat says it's one of the first games that he played that it had haptic feedback. If you'd had 4 beers and a curry before playing it, which is really disgusting.
Yeah, nice.
He blended with the game at that point. Yeah.
But yes, certainly not a bad game, just not a great game.
No. So if you're on the lookout for a mediocre platformer, just play this instead of Sonic, right?
Yeah, well, there's worse games on this cartridge, I think.
Ah, yeah, there is, of course. Mm. Let's go.
Speaking of which.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Have you subscribed to the Retro Asylum podcast yet?
No! You want me to sing for you? No! Come on! Do it! Do it now! Come on! Come on! Do it! Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now! Do it!
So, what's next? Ooh, Clay Fighter.
We're going to move on to Clay Fighter.
Right. Do you want to take this one, gameplay.
Matt? Sure.
See that spot there?
So, let's see. A purple clay meteor strikes peaceful Clayland, transforming it into Clayland. Mighty warriors emerge from the rubble, each of which has but one thought on its mind. Battle all comers to become king of the circus, no matter what. Each clay fighter was given special powers and abilities by the meteor, and you'll need to explore all of them to become king of the circus. Clay Fighter is a more playful take on the one-on-one fighting game, with wacky and wild characters filling out the roster. While the look is totally fresh, the gameplay shares a lot with other popular games in the genre. Try out the usual commands and you'll find all kinds of special moves to bust out on your foes. Perhaps you'll even find some secret techniques. I know I didn't, but let's get into it. I'm just going to have a quick look here. It says, yes, medium kick, so yes. So pretty much standard controls, 6-button controls for a fighter, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A parody of the likes of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, of course.
Yes.
The first thing that strikes me is it's absolutely terrible presentation. Like, this is all right. Like, you know, the watch when you get into the menus, it just looks so cheap. Mm. Another one that was published, developed in-house by Interplay, by the way, as well.
Okay.
Look,
got one goal. Right.
Just, you know, like the font, it just looks so cheap.
Yeah, it does.
Clay Fighter.
It just does nothing to suggest that this is going to be something that I'm going to enjoy. You will have seen that as well, released in 1990. But look at that.
So, who are we going to play as? Bad Mr. Frost, Taffy.
Very nearly completed it with the Elvis character.
The Blob, or the Elvis character. Blue Suede Goo.
Blue Suede Goo.
Icky Bart Clay. Helga. Bonker.
I mean, it just looks so bland, doesn't it? I mean, look at this, like, you know. It's the characters, I suppose, have got some humour and charm, but the game just doesn't present well, I don't think, at all. What did you think of this, Martin? Mads and I are a bad judge because we're not, famously not really into these one-on-one fighters. What did you think of this?
I would like one-on-ones and, you know, Street Fighter and stuff like that. And I just couldn't stick it. I found as well that when you hit them, you did so little damage compared to what they did to you. It just seemed completely unfair as well. And I was slow and unresponsive, and it's everything I didn't want in a fighter.
You can turn the level down, though. I think the default is normal, but you can turn it down to easy. And to be honest, I mean, I just breezed through it. I just got bored in the end.
So did you use special moves, mate, or just button bashing?
No, I tried doing the usual combinations, you know, that kind of half circle from back to front. He does this, you're doing it, that move there where he shoots the symbols at them, the music notation. You can speed it up as well, which helps. So there's different speed settings. Again, it defaults to the slowest one. I found it helped the gameplay. I sped it up to, I think, number 5, which was the middle one. Helped the gameplay a little bit, but it just all felt very sluggish to me.
Yeah. It's exactly the word I'd use. It's just sluggish. There's something about it, even when it's faster.
I was interested in this match, because remember on the last cartridge that we ended up being quite surprised by the, what was it called? The Fighter's History, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we ended up being quite surprised by that, and I ended up really enjoying that game. I've actually been back to play it since, but this Clay Fighters just did absolutely nothing for me. Yeah, you're playing as Mr. Frosty here, which I think is the poster child of the game in some ways.
Yeah.
Again, it looks all right, doesn't it? You know, backgrounds are a little bit nondescript, but the characters, I suppose, look okay. There's Helga there with her, chesticles.
Yes.
But yeah, it didn't really. I mean, this spawned a mini-series, this. It actually got a sequel. Got a couple of weird, like almost kind of like half sequels that were released only through Blockbuster Video in the US, which is weird.
Yeah.
It even got a later N64 release called Clay Fighter 63 and a third. I mean, you can see what they're trying to do. You know, it's almost like the Naked Gun of fighting games,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Ultimately, though, it's never been a game that's appealed to me. It's certainly not a game that I will be going back to until we get to Interplay Collection 2, when we do get the sequel, Clay Fighter 2, Judgment Clay, to play.
I think as well, when you look at the characters, static, they're okay, but there's so few frames of animation when they move. They just go from position A to position B nearly. You know what I mean? There's no...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, Reese has made a point in the chat that apparently the Blob has a ridiculously overpowered move on this game. I think he actually finished this game.
Yeah,
he put on Discord, didn't he, that he finished it? And he says it's odd that this is the original, which didn't have the balance changes. Now, I assume he's referring to Tournament Edition there, which was that half-step upgrade, which may have been rebalanced, but I'm going off Wikipedia here, I have to confess, but... says here that that Tournament Edition was only released through Blockbuster, but I'm sure it's available now through ROMs, etc. Whether the Mega Drive port came later, whether that got the balancing upgrades, I don't know, but it certainly doesn't play a great game, I don't think.
No, this was my least favorite on this cartridge for sure.
Yeah. It's the one I spent the least time with as well, and that's saying something because there's one game that I really didn't like, and I spent more time with that than this.
Okay. Interested in listening to which game you like less than this, so...
Okay.
Yeah,
you'll get to it. Let's see. Move on.
So the next one is Earthworm Jim. This is probably the most well-known of the games on the cartridge, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so.
Everybody knows and loves Earthworm Jim, or at least knows.
We could have had a sequel if we had got the Amico. Wasn't that one of the ones that Tommy had been touting?
Could have been.
I think he was. Although
it's still coming, mate. It's still coming, I'm sure.
It's still coming, yeah. It's not dead. It's just resting. It's resting in its
Although I wonder if he was trying to call in a favour to get the rights to it, because I'm not sure who's got the rights to it now, but it's certainly not on television. Whatever. Earthworm Jim, then, according to Evercade, experienced the genesis of the universe's grooviest superhero, Jim... Not our Jim, a different Jim, was just a normal weakling worm until a supersuit fell from the sky and landed right on top of him. The supersuit granted him great strength, speed, and an abnormal level of intelligence for an earthworm anyway. Unfortunately for Jim, the supersuit's original owners want their property back. Jim needs to battle them to save his own skin and maybe rescue the fur princess, what's-her-name, while he's at it. With a cast of wild and wacky characters, amazing graphics, and challenging, and varied gameplay, Earthworm Jim is an action game unlike any other.
It is for sure. And the game that has made me most angry from any game I've played the past couple of years. Most definitely.
Why is that, Mads?
Because of the difficulty. This is the most difficult platformer I have played in many, many years. I think I wrote on Discord that this makes Rick Dangerous look like child's play, and I stand by that. I mean, how anybody would ever have finished this back in the day is beyond me. I finished it with 265 save states, I believe it was.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah.
But, I mean, this game is beautiful, it sounds good, it's actually quite controllable, but the level design is such that it is just so unfair. And it's not just hard, it's unfair. It's incredible. But let's get into it.
Yeah. So how were you save state in this then? At midway through levels? And
oh, yes. I would save state whenever I've done, like, 2 minutes where I thought this was going okay. And then... in some places, I don't know if you recall, for example, the submarine.
I've seen parts. It, yeah.
Yes, yes, they are absolutely horrid. I would save state, I wouldn't save state mid any of those because I wouldn't know whether I was doing well. So I would only save state just before you'd have to enter the submarine and then once I finally got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so again, talking about how this game is unfair, after one of those submarine sections, there is a section where... just after you're done with the submarine, you need to jump through to end the level. You need to jump through a tunnel, and there is no way of getting into that tunnel without walking into this tiny monster that grabs you by your head and slams you into the floor a couple times, and then throws you forward. That wastes about 25 to maybe 30% of your health. So if you'd finished that really devilishly hard submarine section and you didn't have more than 25-30% health when you got there, you get to try again.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's unforgivable, actually, that kind of thing.
I don't know. So here I can launch a cow. And spoilers, when you finish this game, you rescue Princess, what's her name? And then she gets killed by having a cow land on her. So I'm almost intrigued, and I almost want to suffer through this game once more where I don't launch this cow and see what happens. But you can't launch the cow, of course, which is if you've ever watched the animated series, which you really should. I think it's only two seasons of, I don't know how many, 10, 15 episodes. But it's a beauty of a wacky TV show. And there, it's a fixture there that you need to launch a cow at some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the positives. Martin, the game looks amazing.
Yes, it really looks fantastic. But I never really enjoyed it.
And no.
There's something about it. I don't know. Even despite the difficulty, I never gelled with it. You know what I mean?
Did you have it back in the day?
I had it later on back in the day, if you like, when I picked it up for cheap.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that impressed with it. So I've had that. That's always been there. You know what I mean? So it's hard to change your opinion then.
Yeah.
But it did so well. I mean, to get a, you know, an animated series out of it, and it looks fantastic, and you know, the humor in that is all very good, but it's not great to play, you know what I mean, because of that spike in the difficulty. It's like Matt said, it's unfair. You don't mind when you're killed through your own mistakes, but stuff that you can't avoid is just infuriating. Yeah.
I mean, it starts off difficult, doesn't it? I mean, but there's no horrendously unfair moments, I don't think, in these first few levels. But it's really difficult.
It doesn't ease you into it, you know?
No. I mean, it's one of those hardcore gamer games, isn't it? I was actually reading an Edge review, a contemporary Edge review, and even that said, and this was, you know, back in 1994... even that said, that the game is too hard for its own good, you know. Yeah, so even at the time, it was criticized for being too difficult.
And it is most definitely too difficult if you want to finish it the old school way. And if you ever do, I mean, you have my deepest respect. I don't know how anybody would do that. But actually, for someone like me who's now been playing through the Dark Souls games, and I like punishing gameplay sometimes, playing it with save states is actually good fun. I mean, there's lots of good gameplay mechanics. Have a look at this, for example. You can swing in different stuff.
Yeah, it took me a little while to figure that out.
And there are some jumps you need to do where you have to do that three or four times in a row, which is so hard to do, but so satisfying once you actually do it. And then there are these, let's say, 7, 8, maybe 10 segments that are nigh on impossible, and you'll be swearing a lot going through them. My kids actually... When we were on holiday, more than once told me to stop playing this because it was making them feel bad because I was so mad at the bloody game. But once you get past those parts, it's actually good fun. There's some fun to be had here.
It was the likes of this kind of game and Aladdin and the Lion King as well on the consoles that when, you know, at the back end of this would have been 1994, would have been probably about a year before I got my first Windows PC. And it was when I was really starting to feel the age of the Amiga. and thinking, oh, the Amiga could never run something like this, not have it move in this way. Just the visuals alone, I think, were enough to make certainly a young teenage Chris really jealous of anybody who had a Mega Drive or later a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, the animation is beautiful.
It's like playing a cartoon, yeah. And it still holds up really well.
We were just talking about how Boogerman looks good, but this is on a completely
different level.
Yeah, completely.
It's so good. And it's funny. There's lots of good humor in here as well.
Look at the death animation.
The other thing that annoyed me, like when you were trying to do, you know, where he whips his body out of the suit and tries to swing. It's even though you know you have to do it, it's still not easy to do it. That can be very annoying as well.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and some of the bosses are really spongy as well, which is another problem I have with it. Like that initial boss, you don't even really know that you're damaging it. And it takes ages to kill.
Yep. So you guys remember Sleepwalker?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this little guy is Pete, I think, your friend Pete, and he is like a were puppy. So whenever he's hurt, he transforms into that monster. He does that in the series as well. You need to guide him through this level by whipping him. And this is so extremely hard to get done right. It took me so many attempts.
Do you go back to the start every time?
No, but you go quite far back every time.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one example of a section that was exceedingly hard. This, for example, so hard, not fun at all. You're hoisted into these... You need to defend yourself from the incoming brains or chickens or whatever it is. And there are so many of them coming that you'll run out of bullets and you don't know what... There's no hint... As far as I can see, as to where they're coming from, and it's random, so you can't try to learn the pattern. And you'll die here 20 times, 50 times. If you're lucky, you'll do it on the first go, but you'll have to be really, really lucky.
So what do you do if you run out of bullets?
They very, very slowly recharge, as you can see right now, but that's not enough. You're going to die anyway.
Wow.
But and this is just this was one part of that segment. There were like three times you would stop and have to shoot stuff like that. And it's here you go. Now we're from the start. So when you die, you have to do it all over from the start. So this is the first segment.
Wow, that's brutal.
After going through all that again.
Did you guys play the sequel?
I don't recall. I played this one on the Sega CD. And I remember enjoying that. So I wonder whether they had dialed down the difficulty just a tiny bit on that one, because I remember getting quite far there.
Well, it had an easy mode, didn't it? And I can't recall seeing an easy mode on the intro screen of this one.
No, it did say options, and I didn't actually go into the options.
Yeah, a quick check.
Yeah, I can't remember seeing an easy mode. I actually played the Windows 95 version back in the day, which was based on the Sega CD version.
Yeah.
I don't remember getting very far, but I was so pleased to have it, given it was one of the games that I'd ogled in magazines for so long.
Yeah.
I think the graphics... And a big kudos to the Evercade, actually. We've said it before, that the Evercade makes with the save states, with the native save states, and the fact it's so easy to do, makes playing this kind of game actually more fun than it would have been back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean... If it wasn't for save states and the really, really smooth and easy way that they are implemented in the Evercade, I would never have finished this. And I had a lot of fun. This took me a long time to actually finish this game, but I did have a lot of fun, even though there were some infuriating parts. So, definitely kudos to them. And it is a good game. I would suggest people pick this up and try it. It's not a bad game at all, but it is very hard. So don't unless you're a really, really good gamer, don't pick it up and just think that you're going to finish it in the good old way.
Couple of comments from Reese in the chat. He doesn't think that you can advance the Scream Mads without launching the cow.
Okay. So
at the start.
I guess it has to it like that then.
So you don't have to play through it again.
This is Monkey Professor for a head. If he turns the other way around, he's called Professor Monkey for a head.
And you watched the cartoon a good bit, Mads, did you?
Once again?
You must have watched the cartoon quite a bit then, did you?
Oh, I loved those cartoons. Yeah. I think one of my good friends found a DVD box set not just just like 5 years ago, and we watched them again.
I have to look it up on YouTube place. Now. Yeah.
Because Lee also makes the point as well that these games and the Disney games as well, which are also Aladdin and Lion King, which are also notoriously difficult, probably made Blockbuster a lot of money in rentals.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because you're not completing this in a weekend, that's for sure.
Nope. No. But it's good fun. I would recommend it. I wouldn't have recommended it to you when I was midway through this because I was so mad at it. But after coming out on the other side, I actually really enjoyed it. So
yeah, it will remain for me a game that I prefer to watch good people play. And you're good at this, Mads. But yeah. I prefer to watch others playing it than play it myself.
Yeah. Maybe, but yeah, you should try this, mate. It's good fun.
Yeah, I managed to get through the first three or four levels with save states.
Yeah, okay.
Three or four stages, I should say, rather than levels.
I mean, this level, for Pete's sake, is probably going to make you, want to quit when you get to this point because just man, that took me a long time getting through that.
Yeah. well,
I'd say there's a lot of save states used there. Every time you get them across a platform, save again.
Yeah, save it.
I get to 1,000. Whenever I was in the end, whenever I felt just a little bit safe, I'd save state it there and in that level.
Well, you can win your I am a proper gamer badge, Mads, by having finished it. Well done.
I think it doesn't count when you use 265 saves.
counts.
On to the next one then. Incantation.
Incantation, developed by Titus France, released for the Super Nintendo in December 1996, one of the last commercially released games for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and a pretty one, actually. Mm. But it feels and plays a lot like a Euro platformer, and that's, I don't mean that in a positive way in any way, but more on that when we get into the game.
Yeah.
So is this my turn or your turn, mate?
It is, mate. It's your turn, yeah.
It's my turn. The Book of Sorcery has fallen into the hands of evil, and darkness has fallen over the once peaceful Magic Kingdom. The wicked Necroman and his army of genies, demons, and devils have seized control of the seven realms of the Magic Kingdom and taken the guardian magician captive. It falls to a young apprentice magician, that's got to be us then, to take on the forces of darkness and free the land. He'll use 9 powerful spells to aid him as he scours the terrain for secrets. If he manages to find 3 pieces of wheat to bribe the guard at the end of each state, he'll be able to challenge the boss monster to a duel. But the youthful wizard can't do it all on his own. He needs your help. Incantation was a very late release in the 16-bit console era and is something of a rarity as a result. Enjoy the lush graphics as you explore challenging stages and engage in spellcasting against a nasty crew of monsters. Find new spells as you travel to give your firepower a much-needed boost. Can you defeat Necroman and save the Magic Kingdom from ruin? The answer is yes. Yes, I could.
Yeah, so you finished this one as well?
Yeah, and this one I could definitely finish without using save states if I wanted, yes. Because this is one of the most easy platformers I have ever played. There is 9 levels, 9 full levels, and I think only level 8 was actually hard.
Yeah.
The rest was a complete walkover, so...
Yeah, so let's kind of repeat the mantra of the other 16-bit games on this cart. It looks really nice.
It does, mm-hmm. It does.
It looks like an Amiga 1200 game.
Yeah, it does for sure. I definitely had like Amiga vibes playing this.
Yeah, even looks like an Amiga character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You could see it.
So if you shoot these little, in the level there are these little, crystal balls. And if you shoot them, you're transported into someplace else. Like, and it's not always like bonus stages. It's sometimes you need to do it. For example, here I picked up a piece of wheat, and you need those 3 pieces of wheat
to get through.
Yeah, to go through the level. So you need to find those crystal balls. And if you shoot if you're in a special part of the level and you shoot a crystal ball again, you're most often just transported back to where you came from.
What did you make of this, Martin?
Yeah, the same. I thought it looked really good, but. Oh, back to the same again. It was nothing special. It was okay, you know what I mean. And it is very easy. But it didn't grab me again. It's mediocre at best. But looks the graphics and everything is really nice. But I just again, I found it kind of boring.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Any big evolutions in the level design, Mads, as you progress through?
Nope, nothing. I mean, there are some water levels where you're jumping between different parts, like little islands and the different boss fights. So the bosses are reused a lot. So you meet the same boss like three or four times, which is a bit weird. But there's nothing special going on anywhere except from level 8, which was actually kind of it was really nice getting there, because finally it was a challenge and you were going from the bottom to the top instead of going left to right.
Yeah.
And you will. I'll see if I actually. Maybe I have a save state, actually. Let's have a look.
But that's the penultimate level, right? So it takes that long to really change it up and give you something.
I believe. Perhaps this. Yes, it takes that long before you get. I mean, I can show you some of the other levels. Like here, for example, you need to take. Well, be careful because you can fall into the water, but you can actually. You can swim. So it's not that much of a problem, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's and there are some jumps you need to run before you jump. I got all the way to level 8 before I learned that I could jump because that's not something you need in this game. You can run, but I didn't actually need it before level 8.
But I certainly found that I needed the run to make some of the jumps.
Not in the earlier levels. I can attest to that because I don't remember.
I didn't know you could run on that.
You think you hold it down.
I went all the way to level 8 before I figured out that I needed to hold down the B button on the evocate, and then you can run.
I'm not sure about that swim animation there, are you?
Nah. But this one, I mean, this level, this is horrible podcasting, but I'm now playing level 8, and here we have these ogres that are throwing boulders down at you, which all of a sudden makes this a lot harder and means that you have to learn the timing of the stage. And there are these little, they look like little stone faces that you use as an elevator. You need to time yourself jumping onto those as well. I'm really doing badly here, but... this was actually good fun learning how to get through this, because if you hit just once, as you can see by
it's a one hit kill.
Rocks, it's a one hit kill.
Yeah,
that was actually good fun. I really enjoyed that, and it becomes harder and harder the further you get here.
How Amiga is looking is that rain though for the listeners only. There's kind of a rain effect on graphical effect on screen. Hey, God, it really does look like something from the likes of Agony or something like that.
Yeah, it does.
I had three major gripes with the game. One is the lack of any kind of visual feedback. When you get to the boss battles, you're firing your projectiles into the bosses. They don't even light up. I mean, Mads, for the viewers here, Mads is about to fight one of them. You don't even get any feedback to say that you're hitting them. There's no sound effect. And that was a problem for me. And maybe it's going to make a liar out of me on this one, but a couple of the early bosses, you definitely didn't get any kind of visual feedback that you were doing any damage.
This one is the final boss, and there is feedback on that one, but he's a bit weird. You need to just keep close to him. He won't hurt you if you're standing right under his legs.
You shoot him in the ghoulies.
Yeah, then when you shoot these... he jumps a bit when you shoot him. These slugs fall down, so you need to kill those. There is a bit of feedback there because you can see a tiny animation when you shoot him there. A tiny explosion. Yeah. No, but the bosses are all complete walkovers as well. I mean, there are no hard boss patterns to learn or anything like that. And you have plenty of energy, so you'll probably beat most of the bosses on the first go. And the levels, as I said, if you approach this carefully, not like I played it right now, but just approach it carefully, you walk carefully forward and shoot stuff, you'll probably get through all of them on the first go as well, because they are quite easy. Apart from the eighth one, where you can, you can lose all of your lives there the first time you reach it, so please save state before you enter the eighth world, because that's where you really need to learn the patterns. That becomes more of a dangerous thing, really, because there's stuff there that will kill you in one hit that you have no chance of knowing is there, but you need to learn the patterns and learn what actually pops up there.
Respawning enemies as well was a big problem for me. So in a game which is about, you know, you've got to explore the levels fully to find a wheat, haven't you?
Which
I quite liked. I quite liked the idea of, you know, you go to the levels, you get to the end, you haven't got all three wheat, then you don't pass, and therefore you've got to go back. The problem is, when you start going back, all the enemies that you've previously killed, they're all back again.
Yep.
And that's a real pain. And then if you were to die during that level, you start again with no wheat, so... Yeah, I mean, it's less of a problem because you know where the wheat is second time round, but all of a sudden you think, oh, God, I've got to do it all again. And it's not difficult to do, but you might fall or you might, you know, something might happen. And then the music, I just really didn't like. There's these kind of jaunty tunes which don't really fit at all with...
Yeah, they don't fit.
You know, did you find that, Martin?
Yeah. It just, there's a mismatch there. It's, you know, it's too happy.
I mean, they're not terrible compositions, but again, it's another thing that makes it feel like an Amiga game. Is you get these kind of weird tunes which aren't bad in themselves, but you know, in this level, you can't. I don't know whether the listeners can and the viewers can hear the audio, Mads, but you'd expect some kind of snowy, wintry kind of tune. Instead, you get like a little happy. You know,
I think they're trying to. It's like we make the graphics cutesy and we make the music cutesy to go with it. You know what I mean? I think it's that sort of.
But without singing.
And it just doesn't. Yeah, and it doesn't suit it.
Yeah, and then that coupled with, you know, the fairly average gameplay for the majority of the game, again, makes it feel like just a bit of a trudge.
Yeah, this one wasn't that much fun to go through. I'd actually say this is my least favorite of the three platformers on the card.
I think at this point you were probably just saying, I might as well just finish it, I'm at it.
This is one that Jim actually finished, wasn't it? This was Jim's first completion of 2025. You accused him of throwing some love on it, Mads.
But Jim, I mean, we all know that he loves his mediocre platformers, so this is just the perfect thing for him.
There's no blue hedgehog in this one, though.
Oh, I'm not sure. There could be some. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to give it a full-on recommend, isn't it, this game? Yeah.
Yes.
It's not terrible. It's just...
No.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
I'd say play some of the other games first, and if you enjoy this, I mean, I had fun working my way through it, but it did become a bit of a chore. Martin is definitely right that in the end I finished it because I could and not because I wanted to, really. So,
Yeah. Move on
to the next one. Is that the final one?
This is your favorite one then, is it, Chris? The one coming up?
Oh, Lord.
This is my least favorite for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah. I didn't mind it so much.
Oh, Lord.
It's so... Maybe I don't understand what's going on, but it was boring. So, Titans. Chris.
Yeah. A 1990 NES game, so another very late in the day game on the NES. So the Evercade blurb says... Titan is a unique blend of block-breaking and maze navigation. Your goal in each stage is to use your character to hit the ball into specific targets. In original mode, your goal is to remove all of the blocks in each stage by hitting them with the ball. In challenge mode, you need to find the exit of each stage and hit the ball into it. It may seem simple at first, but there's a deceptive depth to the gameplay that takes some real technique to master. Just when you think you got the hang of it, Titan introduces new obstacles, hazards, and gimmicks to throw you off. Only the sharpest and most determined and patient of players will have what it takes to make it through all 80 action-packed stages. So there's a lot of game here. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. The only thing you can do is you can move your character and you can slow down the ball or speed up the ball. That's it. Right?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Yeah. So the first thing that you'll notice... once you get into the game, is just how boring and bland the game looks. Like, it really does look just so unappealing. You know, I was really excited for this game. Puzzle game, I thought puzzle, brilliant. I like puzzle games. When I read it, I thought, ooh, a mixture of brick breaking and maze game? That sounds really good. Oh, I was so disappointed. You get this title screen here, which is where you can choose your poison. Bit of touch of Amiga there on the level introduction screen.
Yep.
So for the viewers here, you can see, and for the listeners, so Mads is playing a game where he's knocking the ball around, he's clearing off various blocks.
So I'm a little square, and there's a ball moving around, and I can move into it and then direct the direction that it's going into and how fast it's going. And then
it's not arcanoid-like in that the ball can go in any direction. It's not just up and down.
You know? Yeah, and for the first many levels, you can't die. You can't do anything wrong. So you just drive into this ball and try to make it go the right places so you can actually hit all of the little squares that you need to get rid of.
And the physics is really wonky.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, we've just seen you doing it. You were diverting the ball, and the ball just clips through your character and then goes off in a random direction, doesn't it? I mean, occasionally it works like that there, you can see. But if you try and change the direction, Mads, you'll see that you get this sort of weird kind of effect where if you kind of go into it from like a above or something, it kind of goes funny. The biggest problem I have with it
is caught the ball there, actually.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah,
you can do that. The biggest problem I have with it, though, is so the levels, once you get past the first couple, and even on the second one here, they scroll.
Yep.
And the scrolling is so jerky.
Mm.
It may even be worse on the VS, you know, because I found the scrolling to be really, really bad.
Okay.
And in some levels, it scrolls a long way. Some of the levels are really big. And it's just so jerky and horrible the way it moves around that you have to follow the ball as it's moving.
Mm. My main problem with this game was just that it was so boring. I mean,
so boring.
Look at this. I'm still working on trying to get through the second level, which is nothing special. It's just there are no hazards, no enemies, no nothing. It's just the ball being flicked around trying to hit, what was it, 4, 8, 12, 16?
Yeah, like four blocks of four.
Yeah.
But it is the ideal game for playing while not really having to pay much attention to it.
Yeah, true.
You know, but what I found weird about it as well, it like it's doing now, it just get kind of stuck in a loop. State. Mm. Yeah, and just, you know, weirdly stuck that you say, okay, that if it hits it at that angle, it should be coming off, you know, at the opposite angle, like light hitting a mirror, but it doesn't. You know, it just
to another part of the gameplay. Some blocks you can't actually shoot, or you have to run into them, and then you open up new passages for the ball to go through. And later on, there are enemies like these little, what are they? They're just like skulls.
Yeah, if you touch them, then you die.
Yeah. If the ball touches them, you die as well.
Which
gets kind of tricky. But I feel so little in control of what this ball is doing that I wouldn't find it funny trying to puzzle my way through that.
But it's not really a puzzle game, is it?
It's more of a test of patience.
Yeah.
It's more like a war of attrition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting the ball to move in any way which you feels like you've got any kind of control is so difficult. This is a good example of where you've got it's quite a big play field here on this. This is level 3. You've got these four sections in which the blocks that you have to knock out are placed. It's quite a big play field that scrolls left and right and up and down. Once you get to the point where you've only got a couple of blocks left, you basically just leave it and you just sit and wait for the ball to randomly bump into them.
Yeah, and often you'll be playing it blind, like I'm doing right now.
Yeah, like you can't see.
I can't see what the ball is doing, but I need to stay here to guard that it doesn't jump out of the area that I've just caught.
Exactly.
And then I move in and see if it's actually done its work.
And then you move back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just did not do anything for me. This, I mean, on the Evercade website, they describe it as a hidden gem. I'm really not sure about...
No, it needs to stay hidden, I think.
Did you try the challenge mode?
I did. We can just try it, mate. So let's go. See if I can actually... Can I reset here? No. Oh, this is going to take a while. I'm just going to reset.
Yeah, so again, the challenge mode varies up the gameplay, as it says in the blurb there, that you don't have to knock out all the blocks, but you just have to guide the ball through a level. It's better, in my opinion. There's more to it. There is an element of puzzling because you have to work out the safest route to get the ball through the levels. The problem is the levels are so big, and you've still got lots and lots of blocks that you have to clear out the way to get the ball through the level. So you, again, you're back stuck in those kind of loops where you have to just wait. It's still got the jerky scrolling, and it's just really not that much fun.
Did it come out on many other platforms, actually?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, it's a really unique game. I mean, there's very little about it on the internet. I had a good look around, and yeah, it's got the usual Moby Games page and everything, but there isn't really that much on this game. I mean, I don't think it got any sequels or... I mean, the only thing I can say that I've never really played anything like it. Maybe there's a reason why. It's a unique game.
Yeah.
But it really is for the most part. I mean, look at this bit. I mean, you have to clear a path through. Yeah. Most of these blocks take multiple hits. Mm. You've just got to... It's just no fun to play.
I think... Yeah, I love Arkanoid, for example.
Yeah, me too.
And in Arkanoid, I feel in control of where the ball is going. It's like by placing my bat or pedal in the right place, right? Here, it's so hard.
It's true. Yeah, there's no real physics that makes sense.
No, and more than that, the controls are so finicky. I mean, I'm just doing the tiniest taps on the controller here to make him move, and he moves far too much.
Yeah.
So it's so hard to control my little guy here, my little square. So it's really, really hard to play this game, I find.
Yeah, the sound effects are terrible as well. I mean, that noise of the ball hitting the blocks, I mean, just drives you nuts in the end.
Oh, and I died.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, this was no fun, if you ask me.
No.
Not a game I would recommend anybody play.
No.
I preferred it over Clay Fighter, personally.
Do you?
Okay. I'd still play Fighter before this, because it just annoyed me. The lack of control just annoyed me. I could see a fun game, as Chris said, a fun puzzle in there somewhere, but I'd need a lot more fine control over the ball. So it's not for me.
So what was your favourite on the card then, Martin?
God, that's a good question. I'd say Earthworm Jim, but Earthworm it was Jim. Very difficult. Yeah. I wasn't mad on Boogerman. Clay Fighter really annoyed me because I like Street Fighter and fighting games, so I just really couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
So the difficulty level was a bit too much here, but just as an enjoyable-ish game, I would say Earthworm Jim. But overall, it's an underwhelming cartridge.
Yeah. And what about you, Mats?
So in the end, Earthworm Jim. I wouldn't have said that when I was playing it, because it was infuriating in so many ways. But after having finished it, there's some charm there, and using lots of save states, it's actually good fun working your way through it. So yeah, I enjoyed that one. I had a lot of fun in the end with Boogerman as well. But once again,
the Boogerman and Incantation as platforms as well. There's no variety. There's a bit of variety as well in Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, true.
It changes a bit, whereas lots the other is just very mediocre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Earthworm Jim does a lot of things. It's not just a platformer. There's the part where you're flying, and it's kind of like a Tempest, I guess. And then that's between each level. But you're flying, you're racing Psycro, I think. And if you get to the end before Psycro, you just go to the next level. If Psycro gets to the end before you, you need to fight him before you go to the next level.
Yeah.
So that's good fun as well. And there are so many. I mean, there's the part, the infuriating sailing around in that little, well, submarine, whatever you want to call it. And there's the for Pete's sake, when you're taking care of Pete, making sure he doesn't fall down. All these sections that are so hard are actually also quite fun. And they are very varied. There's so much to do in this game.
Yeah. I will. I'll be boring and agree with you guys. I think Earthworm Jim is... Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably head and shoulders, isn't it?
Better than
everything else on the car. Although I would, if I was going to, if you were to give me an Evercade now with this car, I would actually probably play Battle Chess, especially now that I know you can turn off the animations.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, you just play it as a chess game, you know.
And then you're just playing chess, yeah.
And you can't see, but I mean, just go back to where you are in the game, you know.
I think it'll be interesting when we get to Winter Play 2, because that has the sequels to Earthworm Jim and Clay Fighter on it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to look at those and see how they differ.
Yeah.
One day I'll get to the end of Earthworm Jim as well, Mads. I'll join you. It's a game that I would like to play through just to see it.
Yeah, just record yourself while playing it. I want to learn some new choice swear words. So guys, should we just have a little look ahead and see what is waiting for us next time?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know, but there's this website called evercade.info where you can see all the games and the cards. So I'm just going to go there and look up the next one. As you said, Chris, is the Atari Collection 2.
Yeah.
Wow. And we've got, again, 20 games for the Atari.
Better get playing.
Yeah, Yars is it 20?
It says 20 on the cartridge, I can
see. Oh, yeah, sure does.
Yeah. So Yars Revenge, Millipede, Solaris, Sprintmaster, Submarine Commander, Haunted House, Bowling, Radar Lock, Human Cannonball, Street Racer, Air Sea Battle, Real Sports Tennis, Dark Chambers, Wizard, and Demons to Diamonds for the 2600. And Chris, you can read the 7800 games then.
Yeah, so 7800 has Asteroids, Basket Brawl, Centipede, Planet Smashers, and Desert Falcon. And again, the interesting thing about three of those is that they are the 7800 versions of 2600 games that we played last time round.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those cards that's going to be more fun than it would first appear. I think it lacks something like Aquaventure, which we all love so much.
Yeah, let's see if there's an Aquaventure in here. Maybe.
Well, I can't remember whether it's Dark Chambers or it's Wizard. I'm sure it's one of those. Wasn't released until about 2005.
Okay.
It doesn't. I don't think this card has a killer app. But I've already spent an hour playing Airsea Battle, which has, you know, the classic 27 games in one kind of variations on the theme.
Mm.
I think we're probably going to find some hidden gems in there, I'm sure.
Yeah. And for the next Interplay cartridge, that's already on cartridge 7, I see. And we've got, as you say, Earthworm Jim 2 and Clay Fighter 2. There's something called Claymates as well.
So yeah, what is that? I'm worried about that one.
Yeah, me too. And Prehistoric Man and the Brainies and the Adventures of Red Gravity. So,
are you sensing mediocre platform games there, Mads?
I am, most definitely, on those three titles.
Prehistoric Man, I mean, is there a more mundane title to a video game? What's 6 then? So
6 is the Namco Museum Collection.
Okay, nice.
Namco 2, yeah.
Nice arcade games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still need to get my hands on that one, I think. I'm missing out now. There's I don't think I have cartridge 5 as well, so we can't cover that until I find that cartridge.
Yeah, well, Galaga is worth, I mean, I know it's the NES port, but any version of Galaga is always fun to play.
Yes.
That'll be an interesting one. So what have we got there? Yeah, two Splatterhouse games, man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like those games.
Really? Splatterhouse?
No.
I seem to recall they're quite good fun, aren't they?
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, this is fun. It's another card down, isn't it? Certainly my least favourite one so far. But I've had so much use of my Evercade over the past few months that this is what it's all about.
Yeah, most definitely. No, I mean, I had fun. This is the worst cartridge we've covered so far by a long shot, but I had fun anyway.
Yeah, I really picked the time to join, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. That's wonderful, Martin. It's really good having you.
Yeah, you have to come back for... I think like the first Atari cart, I think we're going to like this Atari cart a lot more than we expect.
Mm. Yeah, looking forward to getting into that.
I found that playing the first one as well. You don't expect the LS2600. It's just going to be blocky crap. There's some good games. It surprised me, you know.
Yeah, some really good games there. So, guys, let's wrap it up. Thank you for joining us. If you've been watching this stream, if you've been listening, thank you for listening instead. And I've been Mess. Chris has been Chris. And Martin has been Martin. And we're out of here, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
From now on,
see ya. Bye.
Unlike your parents, where you are the secret force of Red Bull Asylum. So
So you have gone for an audition on Emmerdale?
Yes, I would be playing the part of Annie Sugden's long-lost illegitimate love child's evil twin brother. His name is Clegg Sugden. So, pretty soon they'll be off on a mission. Come and hear them go.